welcome aboard. We have audio. Yes, we do. It is the hour of truth as chairs slide across the floor. we get ready. I'm Paul Muller. We had Phil Walthall here with us in the studio. And I wanted to hit on the topic you brought up about choices today. You know, our heart is, the desires of our heart are manifest by the manner of choices that we make. And, you know, Steve was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love. And so many of the choices we make are not evidences of faith or belief or anything else. They're just evidences of selfishness. And, you know, there are some basic, fundamental truths that we have to agree with. And you know, to start with, it's just easy to pluck this stuff out of Colossians and refer it over to Hebrews and back to John. But the question is, we say we believe the Word, we say we trust and serve Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Word says without Him, it's impossible. You can't, without Him, you can do nothing. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in my life banging around, finding out that it's impossible to please Him. Well, the only conclusion I could come to in is that I don't believe Him. And I spent a lot of time saying I believed Him, but the choices I made were selfish. And there was nothing to appropriate, nothing left to appropriate for myself from the Lord. There's nothing there. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, what does diligently seeking Him look like? Because if you're diligently seeking Him, the choices you make are not burdensome, but they're choices that come out of faith. Colossians says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now that's a choice. And, you know, if Romans talked about if you are baptized, you're baptized into His death so that you can be risen with Him in newness of life. And the first if-then in Colossians is, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and let all these things be added unto you. Because, why? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And those that are diligently seeking Him are not going to be able to stay selfish, just not going to work. It's going to make you humble. And you're going to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, which we could go back and see how Jesus loved. And his love was everything from turning over the tables in the temple to turning to the rich guy, rich young ruler, and telling him one thing you lack. Sell all your stuff and give it to the poor and come follow me. None of that was the politically correct thing that everybody wanted to hear or see done. In verse 2, Colossians 3, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the identification with being baptized into the death, and so you can be a partaker of the risen Christ and the power of the newness of life. And part of the if-then statement, these, if you set your affection on things that are above and on the earth, you're dead, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Well, that's great. I mean, because you can't if you're not hid with Christ and God, then the only thing you have left is to be trusting in your own ability. When Christ, next verse, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Another promise. But it's comes out of if ye then be risen with Christ. And verse 3, for you're dead. If you're dead and your life's hid with Christ in God, that too is a promise. And that's a good thing. But it comes out of the choice. And these are choices that don't come natural to us. I don't, you know, I'm my natural choices are selfish, and we're going to come to the way he deals with the fact that our natural, we're still walking around in these natural bodies. And you know, in the garden, when Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he became cursed and he was cut off. Because he was cut off, he had died. He still walked around for a while, but he was cursed. He died. It's going to take us a while to expire too, but we're cut off and we're going to die. Now, we come to Jesus and he quickens this mortal body with his rejoining spirit. To us. With the reconnecting of the cut off part. But this body is still cursed. We're going to die. Just in the same manner that Adam died. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify, that's a choice. That is something you choose to put off. the nature of this old man. This old man is selfish and chooses stuff that will kill it. That's just, and will choose stuff that will kill other people. Unregenerate man will choose selfishly to please himself rather than provide for his family. It's just the way we are. These choices are going to show where your heart is. Are you able to do this? For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Are you children of disobedience? Do you want to see the wrath of God manifest? That's what it says happens to children of disobedience. It's in Romans. It says that the flesh or the carnal man is unable to please God. It is at enmity with God. It is in a fight against God. James says that it's not James. Hebrews, as we were reading, says without faith it's impossible to please him. If you're looking to please him, I remember what James said, draw nigh unto me, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. If you're seeking the kingdom and his righteousness, he's not going to leave you dangling out there. He's going to meet you. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But we don't seek him on good days. That's the problem with the way we are. It's really a testimony against us about the way we are. I don't want to make choices that show me to be a child of disobedience, because I don't want the wrath of God to come down on me. Verse 7 says, "And in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." And this begins with how we treat one another. What do we lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man is renewed in knowledge. That means we don't have to stay stupid. After the image of him that created him, where there is neither Jew nor Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. If you're unforgiving and unable to extend grace and mercy, then in the disciples' prayer, Jesus shows them how to pray. He says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Man, I want to be forgiven better than that. So I need to be forgiving if I'm going to be forgiven. That's scary. And it doesn't matter how good a position you've achieved in life. Doesn't matter whether you're a lineage of Greek or Jewish extraction. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't matter whether you're circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. Doesn't matter if you're a slave or a master. Grace is the same. It's the same need for all men, and it works the same in all men. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Among and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I can never say that at the end of that sentence. Above all these things, put on charity, which is agape love. And that's something you choose to do. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, if you ever manifest that in any kind of a complete sense or perfectness, you're gonna appear as Jesus did. And when Jesus ministered, they lined up against him and they lined up for him. And it comes as no surprise to him that that was happening. But he didn't moan about the fact that these people were coming against him. He just simply called them out. Held them accountable. And we say all that in these first few verses of Colossians so that we can get to a place where the peace of God can rule in your hearts. To the which ye also are called in one body, and be thankful. If ye put on this the new man and mortify the deeds of the flesh, and agree that your life is really the only life you're ever going to have, hid it with Christ and God, so that when he comes, you are revealed with him in glory. All that stuff puts you in a place where the peace of God and the cessation of war with him, unconditional surrender, has been accomplished. And the body is knit together with unity of mind and unity of purpose and unity of message. You got anything to say? I mean, you're looking like you might have something to say.
No, I don't have anything. Just listening at this point.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And you know, people who are consumed with the word of the Lord. Steve was saying, you know, he talks about the word a lot. And he does. And it's always in exhortation and always uplifting and always. Sometimes we just get off track and we forget the word of the Lord. Sometimes we forget what it says. And it's always good to be reminded. And it builds your faith. It really it's profitable to spend a lot of time talking about the Lord. And when you're doing that, it's just going to be, it's going to happen that you're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing to the Lord about in joy, because his grace is being manifest in you, and that's a joyful experience. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And that just means everything you do, everything you do. And we have a tendency to want to compartmentalize. Well, this is work, and this is home, and this is church. So we'll do those things as unto the Lord when we're in church. But that's not what it says here. It says whatsoever you do in word or deed, not whatsoever you do on Sunday, or whatsoever you do on Wednesday. But do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God the Father by Him for the opportunity to do that. And when you proceed forth, having made these choices and with this attitude, then the rest of this stuff just flows forth. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Do we want to please the Lord? Or do we want to stand in rebellion? Because the peace of God is not going to rule in your hearts if you're at warfare, at enmity with Him. Not going to happen. It can't happen. If you want to be rewarded by the Lord, then you have to believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you're not diligently seeking Him, why should He reward you? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You don't want them to lose hope. And, you know, one of the things we're talking in Ephesians of the service today, Ephesians says, don't provoke them to wrath. And I always pictured that as just be, you know, I used to entertain myself by making the kids mad. It made me feel like I was simulating being a father when I was doing that.
I think you still do to a certain extent.
Ah, I don't mean to. I mean to be profitable and not just to be making people mad. Where was I?
21.
Because I don't want to discourage anybody. I don't want anybody to lose hope. That's not my purpose. Never has. Well, never will be. I can't tell you it has been. Didn't bother me at all back then. It does now. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. In all things, obey your masters in the flesh. And, you know, we tend to want to look like we're serving them diligently when they're watching us and or doing it in front of them, and then gainsaying, being argumentative and strikers, really, in their absence. Or doing it is just to be rewarded by men saying, oh man, what a good job you're doing. That's not what it's about. It's about getting the reward, the reward being that you're pleasing the Lord. What other reward is there that has is so profitable to both you and to the people you serve when it comes from you wanting to please the Lord? That's the highest motivation that you can possibly have. It's the most consistent one. And as we've seen, motivation is everything. And you know, our hearts, when we come to the Lord, they're full of all kinds of motives that are impure and selfish, self-serving. And these are part of the cleansing and recreative work that the Lord does in our hearts, because He loves us and we needed it. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Can it get any clearer about what your motivation is supposed to be? Because men are not going to be able to give you what you can receive from the Lord, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
And that right there is the freedom.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry, I mean, I was talking about the... No, I'm not sorry. I was talking about the choices we make.
Yeah.
Because in the situations we're in, we're talking about loving God, loving one another. That's a relationship between you and the Lord. And we all have our positionings here, as it talks about. And what you have with this is that you have freedom, because the Lord is going to reward you. You know what? You're not always going to... Man is unpleasable.
Yeah.
So you try to... I mean, as a child, as a servant, as a brother, as one in authority, don't expect that you're going to be pleasing to all men at all the time.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No.
But if you're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling as unto the Lord, and it's about serving the Lord heartily unto the Lord, look, He's going to give you the reward, and that's where you can put your trust in.
Yeah, this is about you serve the Lord Christ, and He's not a slacker. And that is its own reward.
And what you have is you know, you really don't even have the ability. I mean, you started off, Paul, here with you can't do nothing without me. And, you know, so how do you get to where he's with you and he can do something? What I was talking about this morning, and I probably didn't make it clear enough, was making that choice clearly to please the Lord. Then he opens, if you're not double-minded.
He makes a way where there is no way. In a place where you saw no way out.
Right.
He makes a way.
In a place of just whatever kind of distraction or situation or whatever, you make that choice. And he will meet you there. What I mean by that is he's going to give you what you need to accomplish that if you're sincerely about his business and making that choice to serve him. Right. And there's the freedom.
Right.
So what if your parents aren't pleased with you? So what if your boss is not pleased with you? So what if your brothers or sisters are not pleased with you? You know what? Go about doing what he has to do. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying so what, oh, who cares. What I'm saying is, no, you go about pleasing the Lord. And whether they're pleased with you or not is out of your control.
It's like,
and you trust the Lord for his provision for you regardless.
Sometimes your stand with the Lord is going to put you at enmity with your parents, and they're not going to be, they're not going to understand, they're not going to receive. Steve was, you know, in that, had that sort of a thing going on with his father. But he didn't love his father. But he honored him by continuing to hold the truth up. By continuing to stand with the word of the Lord. By continuing to hold him accountable to the word of the Lord. And that put him at enmity with his father. That came out of his stand for Jesus. That was not him not honoring his father. That was actually him honoring his father. And most of the, that just gets lost on so many of the Christians I've run into. That it's what we have grown up expecting love to look like is not often what it looks like. It often looks like Jesus turning over the tables in the temple and running out the money changers. It often looks like him turning to the rich young ruler and telling him, look, you know, only one thing you lack, sell all you've got and come follow me. And it says he was grieved, for he was wealthy. He had a lot of stuff. So, most people, most preachers, wouldn't have the nerve to tell somebody that for the outcome might be you run them off. And if they're wealthy, you want the income in the church, right? So, you know, if you will deny the truth to somebody, you're not loving them. So, that's... And a lot of people will stand in judgment against somebody who's actually manifesting the love of Christ. And parents who are actually manifesting the love of Christ. And children who are trying to manifest the love of Christ. When you're in a system where you're supposed to trust the system and not the love of Christ. So, it's easy to run afoul of an ungodly system. And don't fool yourself. The system is ungodly. But yeah, down to verse 24, it's the reward is really not even. But he is the one who carries the inheritance, and it's his job to hand it out to those who should receive it. But the reward is, to me, I serve the Lord Christ. It just don't get any better than that. That's an awful high place to be in. That's the highest place that you can ever get to me. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there's no respect of persons. And that is a promise, too. And, you know, Gail put in the chat room, the motivation is, sadly, from those who do well most of the time, that they're doing well for the approval of men. And not to please the Lord. The Lord doesn't even enter in the equation. And you know, it feels good to be stroked by men. But when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need the reward of man. You likely won't get the reward of most men. You're not going to get praise and stroking. Because as when Jesus ministered, they line up on both sides. One side wants to kill him, the other side wants to hear him. But that's how the word of the Lord divides things up. That's how Jesus said, I didn't come bring peace but a sword. Listen, I'm going to separate some families, because they're going to look at you like you have lost your mind. So it is one of those, what does he say in John?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, a lot of what I'm talking about is you know, the freedom. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Let's if we go back in the time, and you know, I was a slave, yet and by physically underneath. I mean, well, look. I mean, look. One, we can just take for now. It's present day. We are under. We are a nation that is heading down to a place of like Egypt and bondage to the government and things. But yet, though my physical might be here, I can freely yet serve the Lord.
Right. I'm looking to Jesus says, John 16, these things I have spoken unto you, verse 33, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. And what he says is, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to take the tribulation off you.
No. Actually promises it.
It goes right into Romans 5. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh hope.
And it's hope, actually... it's actually
patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope. And hope makes not ashamed.
It actually works that which is good in you.
Yeah.
And that is a faith towards God, if you allow it.
Yep. Well, I don't know. Let's see. These things I've spoken, either in the world you might have peace, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It doesn't really matter. Jesus is still the answer. He's beautiful for all situations. His mercy is new every day. Every day. Every day. And it's good because we need it. Every day. Every day.
It's definitely beautiful for a situation. Because no matter what goes on, it always seems to be turned around and redeemed. No matter how stirred up or turned around the situation may get, always you really make that choice to trust the Lord, that situation will be turned around.
That's absolutely true. I don't know if we can.
I got that from experiences myself.
You know, we do let the world set expectations for us in Christendom. And it's like I was sharing today in the service, my mother didn't bat an eye about putting me into service. We're going to move some plants today. You're going to haul some pine straw today. You're gonna haul some manure today. You're gonna be spreading it around some plants. And the concept seems to have been lost in a generation that now it seems like the parents serve the kids everywhere.
I don't know. My family's very well known of me too. Once I get a chainsaw or shovel in my hand, it's gonna be a long freaking day.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you already put in a lot of time serving your earthly master. But you will absolutely work yourself into complete and utter exhaustion. And that's appreciated. That's appreciated. It's a diligence to serve that you didn't get from me. You got more from me mistakes than the example of serving. But you know, Lord's gracious and good, and He's redeemed the time.
Amen.
So I think it's probably the wrong name for this show, because we've been getting done before the hour is up. So it's not really the hour of truth. It's more like the 40
minutes. We'll try to get through the hour of truth. Call it that instead, I suppose.
Oh, I think we've reached about the end of the subject. So I don't know. Maybe one day I could keep going out of Hebrews and all that. But I don't know. It just things when you get like Nicodemus, and Jesus tells him you can't see or understand the kingdom because your eyes are not spiritual, they're carnal. You have no understanding in spiritual things at all. There are a lot of people without a lot of spiritual understanding who take instruction from pop culture instead of being of a part of a strong body of believers that influence pop culture, that demonstrate the fear of the Lord.
The instruction from the pop culture, all that is excuse. We make too much excuses for ourselves. in our situations, like as we were talking about. You want the Lord to meet you in situation. You want it to be beautiful situation. It really comes to stop making excuses. And what the world feeds you is a bunch of lies and excuses, and the way you are the troubles that you're having, when the bottom line is unbelief in His Word. And quite frankly, we don't need anybody else to help us make excuses. We do that naturally on our own way too much.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And it's mindful of what Jesus, when Jesus was being tempted of the devil, and he told the devil told Jesus that all these kingdoms were his, and he can have them if he would just bow down and worship him. Jesus didn't argue the point with it. Kingdoms of this world, they're not spiritual. They're not godly. That's why, if you're a believer, you're going to have tribulation in this world. Because Jesus stirred up a whole bunch of tribulation. But Jesus rose again, and that's how he triumphed over tribulation.
And in the midst of those tribulations, if we can just hang on to be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, and trust in Him.
Right.
And also realize a lot of times the situation you're in is getting honest with yourself, because a lot of times it's our own fault.
Yeah.
Not all the time. Things happen. You know what I'm saying? But still, just recognizing that, hey, you know what? This tribulation is actually good for me and my growth. And if you allow the Word to do its work and submit unto Him and trust Him, you'll see that that will be the case.
Gil put it in the chat room, we stick out like sore thumbs. Walking in faith is reflected against the darkness of the world today. I would hope so. We should.
We should be sticking out like sore thumbs.
Yeah. Well, folks, I think we've reached the end of the Hour of Truth for this week, because I can't think of anything else to broach that we can do into 12 minutes we got left. 11 minutes we've got left. So, y'all have a great week, and we will see you next time.